If that's true, what if we said, Bob, if you get a chance, go out and look out your window toward the ocean and look at it. It's sitting right there. Go see it. And then you can look at it, you can rub it, touch it, feel it. You can visualize it. You can go inside it. You can feel it, see how nice it is, and look at all those damn flora and fauna that Connie's got spewed all over everything, and orchids growing on the beams, and all kinds of craziness rolling around there. What if we said do that? Then you'd say, nah, we can't do that because it's not there yet. No. And then we'd say, okay.
All right, but things show up when the frequency aligns.
No. Things show up when you align with the frequency.
Yeah, that's what I meant. We align with that.
Well, there's a vast difference there, you see.
Yeah, there is. I agree. So when we align with the frequency, it shows up because it was already there. We then can see it. And you're saying that I could personally align with it and see it, but others won't see it right away unless they encourage them to check it out.
Well, how do you think those people did things in your history? Now, we won't take you down a long path here, but this is significant. When you take Crawford Long, for example.
What's that?
He is a doctor, and he invented anesthesia. He invented anesthesia before there was anesthesia. Well, he knew there was anesthesia before he figured out that it was anesthesia.
How did he figure it out?
He knew it.
How did he know it?
He aligned with the frequency that was, that allowed his knowing to be transubstantiated into reality. Edison knew there was going to be a light bulb. Now he had to go through 2,000 different filament options, but he knew there was going to be a light bulb before he ever found the filament that there was a light bulb.
Did he know it because he parallel-worlded it or something?
No, Bob. In the inner kingdoms, he knew there was going to be light.
It's like often when I say to you, Bob, and you ask me, well, how do you know that and prove it and give me the signs? And I say, I just know it. Sometimes you just know things.
Right. That comes from your gut. That comes from the inner kingdom. Inner kingdom. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart.
Hunch world?
No, well, can be. Yes, it can be. But you can get a hunch from the outer kingdom when your hair stands up on your meat sack. That's the outer kingdom.
Oh.
That's an outside force saying every hair or every little follicle of your hair on your body, stand up and pay attention. Mm-hmm. That's from the outer kingdom.
We're relating the kingdoms to the body.
Sorry?
You're relating the kingdoms to the body.
Well, that's what that's why they... Yes, of course.
And we talked about last night how the kingdoms were more external. The public space.
Well, is your body not external?
Yeah, but we did the...
Your physical body is an external apparition of your non-physical, is it not?
Right.
Because otherwise, why would you ever... dare lay it down.
Well, we established a significance to the middle kingdom, three kingdom knowledge, because it was dealing with the kingdoms or something.
Yeah.
External, whereas we've been talking about the parts of the body before.
Yeah.
The two of everything.
Yeah.
And we understood they weren't really the same. Kingdom knowledge is not related.
Well, once you get to that knowledge of base of understanding a little better, you won't believe how thin you can smear the peanut butter.
You thin it. You smear it thin, that means you can do a lot with a little.
Yes. There you go. Then you go into your scriptures with the widow's mite. The widow who gave nothing, a mite, which is like not even a hundredth of a penny.
Who did you give it to?
The would say the church, but she put it in the coffer, in Jesus's money coffer.
Oh, I see.
And they stopped everything because people were giving great big sums in the synagogue. They were giving and praying loud so everybody could see what they gave and how special they were that they were able to give so much. And they stopped everything and said, this little woman gave all. She gave all. You gave a bunch, but she gave all. There's a difference, you see. So hers counts more than yours. You sure?
I didn't know that story, so that's all.
There's
she
lots
had.
Of them.
All she had. Was it worth anything to me?
It was all she had. It was worth everything.
But it's a coin.
Yeah.
Yeah, worth a little bit. So,
but no, we're talking about, she was ashamed that that's all she had to give, but she gave everything. But everybody else was proud because they were giving so much and they weren't giving anything.
Did that actually happen, that story?
Sure. About a million times. The widow gave, took her last, the prophet came and knocked on the door. She had settled it in her heart that her and her son, she was going to die. They had enough flour or meal and enough oil to make one more hoe cake. They had screeched and pitted and gone just as far as they could go. And there was famine and she was a widow and it was over. And it was done. She had enough oil and enough flour to make one more little piece of bread or cake, like a hoe cake. She was going to make that, and then they were going to eat it, her and her son, and then they were going to die.
Right.
They had decided. Well, the prophet comes by hungry, knocks on the door, and says, woman, go make me a hoe cake. And she says, I only have enough for one. And he says, what I have the information to give you will make it so you won't ever be hungry again. And she just activated her non-physical and said, well, very good. And she made up the last little hoe cake and gave it to the prophet. The prophet ate it, thanked her so much for her kind generosity and her ability and capacity to give all. And she had a little box where she went to get her meal, and she had a little cruet that she kept her little dab of oil, and she knew it was over because she just gave away her very last, and she went back and looked again, and there was a little more meal, a little more flour, a little more goody. And then she poured a little out of the jug, just maybe thinking there was another drop, and oil came out of it. Well, she found herself with this magic box or container where it was always, she had flour or meal and oil forever. It magically kept reproducing itself.
Now, was the prophet Jesus, or is this another story?
It wasn't Jesus. It was another prophet.
Right, you said
it was one of the apostles.
But it was a story told a million times in different cultures? Is that what you meant?
Well, yes, and that was just another example. There's vast. It just goes on and on. There's just every dogmatic religion has the same type of similar algorithm that keeps showing up.
Right.
You would say it is a repeating meme. Well, maybe, but a repeating meme is different than an archetype, isn't it? You never spoke of a repeating meme.
Well, I think an archetype, as Jung meant it, is a basic pattern that shows up in different cultures. So I would call that a repeating meme.
Well, we wouldn't. An archetype is a standard of a repeating meme.
Okay.
It has to be across the whole crossface to be accepted as an archetype. Okay? That's the difference in your paradigms and your platitudes and vicissitudes. once it's established and everybody gets it, then it's an archetype. And sometimes, as you say, experience through tactility. But the process of a repeating meme can go through just a very small vein of the cross section of the understanding of knowing. It's why they call it a secret, Bob.
How about you?
Secrets aren't archetypal.
Was there a difference between paradigms, latitudes, and persistence?
Yes.
Okay.
Paradigm is how you judge how you're doing. Paradigms are how you see it. Paradigms are, that's the universe as you know it.
Right.
Latitudes are phrasal statements like, God is love. Nobody fights that one. Okay, but then you take it on down, and then the vicissitudes are, God is love because I am God. Now that's an opinion. Sure.
Oh, that's what I thought. Vicissitudes referred to the changes.
Well, that's what we just said of how you change the platitude. Correct.
Yeah.
He had an if clause. I will be rich if God does love me.
Oh.
See, that's not a platitude, that's a vicissitude. Those are the things that you'd say. You could twist the words a bit, but it's the short version of it is sometimes the vicissitudes remain to be seen. You see?
Right. I thought that platitudes statements and then vicissitudes were the changes in the environment.
Yes, that's what we just said.
Right, okay. But you gave an example of a verbal change.
Yes, that would be the most significant because the words are the force of creation that is unstoppable. Even if you say something you don't want, it's still unstoppable.
Right. How do you prevent yourself?
And you really need it to understand that. There's an example like there. You need to understand it.
Well,
good.
You just
do. We weren't trying to undo your flow. You had a good flow going. We said we wouldn't go too deep into it. Round us back to where you wanted to go.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but then your last example made me forget. So we were talking about vicissitudes.
You might want to demute so it will be better for your recording.
Demute?
Yes, you're muted.
I'm muted?
Your microphone.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, we hear you perfectly fine, and we have no problem, but
you're right.
Your recording is going to suck.
Yeah. Okay, that's better, right?
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, the mic was too high.
It's all right.
We were talking about platitudes and vicissitudes, and then we, words, then you said something. No, we're going to respond, but what?
You obviously aren't interested in that topic, are you? Remember, go back before we got there.
No, that's the problem. I'm so interested, but I'm interested in all the topics, or they're equally indifferent to all topics, so I remember all the questions. And
that's the vicissitude. Equally indifferent. Good.
Okay, so we got a little bit more about the kingdoms. And we're talking about this world. So when we talk about two of everything, and there's a double of you in a parallel world, that is including other worlds. You're giving them dynamics.
Whoa, wait. Hold on now. Slow down there just a little bit. Develop that again.
Well,
isn't that again?
The middle kingdom is about this world. Well, no, the three
and
kingdoms.
And the inner and the outer kingdom is about this world.
Sorry, yeah. I meant the three kingdoms are about this world.
Yes.
Up to this point, we've been talking about a wider vista. This world and there are parallel worlds and all that.
Yes,
okay.
And the Guff and,
right.
and Heaven's Gate and World 437 and the Ninth Gate and portals and activating portals.
Okay, fine.
Where they're located. We've talked about the luminous.
Yeah, that's what we've now gone down to a smaller zone, so to speak.
Yeah, because you weren't getting the big zone.
Right.
It was, we want a parallel world, and we can't remember doing it, and we don't know nothing, and we can't get there from there, and why are we having this conversation? Because nothing really matters, and you can't really know anything, and you can't really ask anything, because you use the wrong word, then I won't talk to you, and then you're screwed eternally. And so we said great.
I'm losing it. Paranoid. Oh, yeah. I missed all what you're saying, and it's good for the recording. Now, I'm remembering what I wanted to say, so that's important. The idea that whatever you think will be,
it is.
Becomes
is. It's not an idea.
It is. That makes you paranoid. You don't know you don't know what to think. Well, if I think that, it's going to be.
No. Wait. That would be like saying, that was like being afraid if you plugged in something to the wall, electricity would flow into the appliance. You're banking on it happening that way. I'm paranoid. It's tickled to death. It does.
I know, and Carol knows that people, they hear that you create your own reality. They're going to say, then they say, well, that's negative thinking if you say something negative. Don't think that. How do you get you out of that knot? Get oneself out of that knot.
You have to understand that an AC current alternates back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. An AC current alternates back and forth, back and forth. Those electrons go in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And it makes a circular cycle of cyclicity.
Right.
So, and if you understand that, now all of a sudden it's not a big thing. Guess what? If you didn't have batteries, if you didn't have negative, batteries wouldn't work. Who said negative was bad?
Well, it's a common people, when they start thinking that you create your own reality, and your thoughts become real, they start getting paranoid about negative thinking. And they say, every negative thought will bring it forward. So they try to emphasize positive thinking.
Yeah, but that's not what they really mean.
What do they really mean?
Well, they mean what they mean.
And what is that? What do they mean?
Whatever shows up in their reality.
Oh, you mean that they claim they don't want.
Yeah. There's like, they'll have a negative thought about somebody or something called a demonstrative thought. Let's use that word. And then they go, oh my God, non-physical is going to get a hold of that. And they're going to send it all. That's what they're going to send us. Take it back.
Right.
Take it back. Oh gosh, okay. Get it back. But now, every single dogmatic religion of your world that's ever been, there's been many religions that didn't make it. But every single one of them said life and death is in the tongue. Every single one of them knew that the thoughts created from the heat-oppressive brain was the foundation by which that thought became manifest in your reality. See, we don't speak much of creation, manifestation, because you're doing that already anyway. You're the most marvelous creators that have ever been.
By speaking and thinking.
You don't know what the hell you're doing, but you're doing it marvelously.
By speaking and thinking.
Yeah. I think I know.
Okay, but we understand that. The paranoid,
well, then
the paranoid,
what's the question?
About this issue.
Okay.
I don't know what to say to someone who says that you just think positive, Bob. Don't think negative. It'll all come true. And it sounds like you're saying, and I've used it.
If you think negative, it's all going to come true. And if you think positive, it's all going to come true.
So it doesn't matter what you think.
Come true. Someday my prince will come.
Right. So it doesn't
matter. But he might be a frog.
When you say, you just said that negative, you think negativity comes true, or you think positively comes true? I don't think that's what you said.
Well, we don't know negative thinking. There's either creation or uncreation, and you can't do uncreation. So there's only creation. So what you're asking is how do you steer your thoughts into what you want? You don't even know what you want. So how can you can possibly control your thoughts to figure out what it is that you want?
That's why you would give up, relax now, and not think or not be concerned
Thank
about
you.
What you think.
And get out of this 1, 2, 3 business. That's a waltz. It's the song that never ends. It's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. And turn it around and go to 3, 2, 1. I'm already a marvelous creator. I already create. All I have to do is consider something that I'd like in my reality. Turn non-physical, which is not my work. Let them do it. Then the final description is once non-physical provides my order, I get to decide how much and what color of it I want.
Right.
And then I allow it into my experience. You can order something, FedEx delivers it to your door, and if they ring the doorbell to deliver it to you and you go, nah, it ain't coming, I can't have it, they will pile that shit at your doorstep and get it to where you can't even go out your house.
Okay, fine,
and you sit waiting on it to come. Good.
Okay. So, we've been very careful when people call up and say, that sounds like the law of attraction, whatever Ryan had said, and then we make the distinction. And we started off a long time ago, we're not putting down law of attraction, we're completing it. But actually, when you, just now you're stronger saying, forget that law of attraction, forget that 1, 2, 3.
Well, that would be like, the law of attraction is the same as saying, now whatever you do, remember to breathe.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Okay,
yeah.
Hold it, fine. Now we'll always in public be polite about it.
Well, we don't know.
I mean,
wait a minute. We will not change our words.
Yeah, but
we will not change our words.
Yes, sir.
You let the right human creator get us in a forum, and you ask the question that they're actually interested in the answer. And Bob, let me tell you, the glory is gonna roll.
Okay, because I hesitated telling the Abramites that I might have met here and there, that Ryan is the exact opposite.
Well, it's not the exact opposite. It's the rest of the story.
Right, but it becomes, the rest of the story is, sorry, the first story had it all backwards was not really very useful. That's part of the rest of the story to say that.
Well, if the law of attraction is there, now you're greasing it up. All right.
Mm-hmm.
If the law of attraction is so wonderful, why would there need to be a completion of it? If it was all there is, why won't anybody get it? Why are they spending 30 years listening to the same questions with the same answers consistently, continually? The only thing that changes is what color Porsche you're trying to manifest. And maybe if I want a green one instead of a red one, I can have it. And on and on over and over and over and over and over and they never, ever, ever get anywhere with it. If it's that good, why isn't it effective?
Well, people think they get with it. You know, they say, yeah.
Well, then, but once you get it, then you're done with it. But that's just scratching the surface.
Okay.
That's just figuring out how to do so you ain't crawling
no
more. Yeah,
I'll say, love attraction, that's kindergarten. We're talking postgraduate.
Well, don't be. That's here's what you say. Law of attraction is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened on the planet when you get it. But what do you do after you get it?
And then we suggest what you can do after you get it.
Yeah. And there's no big secret formula.
Okay, well, I just want to get it works for me. I get enough from it.
Perfect. Then why would they be having conversation with you?
I probably into the world.
Well, you know, and how's that working for you?
Wow. Well, you can ask me that question any time, and it's always the same answer. I'm the leading edge. I created Ion, blah, 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 with Carol's help. So I'm actually working on pretty good. I saved the world, so to speak.
There you go. And they'll align with that or not.
Right.
And see, if they do, then you don't have to have much validation for that point of conjecture, do you?
If they do align with me, somebody said.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And then even those that don't align with you, after a very few number of moons, all of a sudden they do.
Mm.
Right, frequency. Just because the bus went earlier than you were there, doesn't mean the bus is bad. It just means you didn't line up with the bus schedule. But that same bus will come back a little later, and then you can get it then, and then it's all right. Ain't nobody hurt.
Okay.
Yeah, they had pictures, and we have an example. They had pictures of the new tallest building in the world,
yeah.
The one in Dubai.
Yeah.
They had pictures of that building long before it was completed.
Well, so Parallel Wilders built that?
No.
Okay, so they had pictures as projections.
Yes. They call them plans.
So are photographs actually the electrical thing, shutter goes off, and it captures what already exists?
That's correct, Bob. Think about what you just said. Yes, that's exactly correct. But now let's take it on. What happens when your camera starts snapping things that aren't yet?
I guess that was more what I was saying. That they
Yeah. Because it does. Do you remember? And we don't want to out JW because this is your recording, but we just can't miss this opportunity. With Egyptian pictures, Middle East, Turkey pictures, JW was absolutely confounded that he had all these memory cards from the camera, just thousands and thousands and thousands. We don't know why, but they all kind of got shutterbug fever, and he took the little chips to have them printed for what they print them, put them on paper, and he was on the screen. He was able to crop them, you know, or if somebody's underwear was showing, he could take that out or blow it up or make it smaller for what he was interested in the picture. And all of a sudden, he started seeing all these crazy, weird things on his little card, the computer memory card thingy.
Mm-hmm.
He had lots of them. And then he says, well, that's just some catch of light, stray like this, some foolishness or something. So he had it printed, and all of a sudden he could have a picture of something ancient in a museum and have all these musical notes coming out around it, swirling around it.
Mm-hmm. Mean
that
visual,
weren't there.
Visual depictions of the note character.
Yeah, and the character of notes, and they were like in neon.
Okay.
I mean, like you've seen people take pictures of orbs and angels,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff. Well, it was like this, and there was just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And he didn't have a clue. So he has a couple of albums. Some are albums that everybody can see. And others are albums that he doesn't share.
Right. Because they got all this extra stuff that wasn't obviously there.
That, Lucy, you're going to have some explaining to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so everything that one could think already is, with every thought that's been thunk.
Mm-hmm.
Or could you say, no, we're marvelous creators, there are some new things we're going to think that haven't happened yet. As soon as we think them, they'll be there.
And we can give an example of that. Do you remember how Walter goes back talking about how he wants a ho-ho or weird foods that they hadn't made, you know, Cocoa Puffs and stuff they hadn't made for 30 years?
Right.
And then then Astrid finds it and drinks
right.
it. Look, Walter, we found your ho-hos and this, that, and the other, you know, Twinkie stuff.
Right.
And stuff they don't make anymore. And then he goes, oh, I just love Count Chocula. You know?
Yeah.
Well, they bring it back, and to his knowing, okay, just like things from the future can come into your experience. See, you don't have a problem with Snicker bars, okay?
Right.
Because Snicker bars are.
Right.
But if you were wanting a Snicker bar and it wasn't, that would be a larger degree of creation, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So it's the proximity between you and you of your, we would call it, we like this because this is getting you somewhere finally. It
what
could,
you like? What you're going to say or
the conversation? The conversation that's moving into something that actually has value. For
that
your
is
point.
Like the past half hour or past
yeah. Yeah.
I like
yeah.
what we're doing tonight.
Yeah, because this becomes practical.
Right.
Or as Carolyn would say, you're finally on point.
Yeah.
Which is great. Because all the definitions are great, but if you don't get the point, you just got the definitions.
Right.
So the larger dynamic is great, because then you can develop it. But now we're not pushing against, because we love cleaning it up, because if Bob gets it, everybody can get it. See, that's good. That's good.
What did you say you love? I missed it, but you love the questions.
We love it when you come into this, where it becomes a practical magic. There isn't any of this foolishness of this ethereal woo-woo business that people just go and roll their eyes and go, yeah, right. No, 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 no. If you could change red lights right before your very eyes, that becomes something practical that's useful, that's functioning.
Right.
If you're in a hurry and you're on the bus and you don't want the bus to stop and the bus just goes directly to your stop and then turns you out and doesn't stop for any stop signs or red lights, it just moves right through it to get you there, and you get there 30 minutes before you normally would have, that has a practical use, does it not?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're talking about. Why can't that be? No, that breaks all the rules. They can't run the red lights. They'll get in a crash. Other people may want to get off or get on, and it won't stop for them, and on and on and on. Well, to hell with that noise. We're not worrying about them. They need to worry about them, or they need to figure it out. This is about you, the individual you, and the practical applications of your power in this set of kingdoms. Because what you've been trying to write a book about is to usher in the kingdom.
Right.
On earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So you got to learn how, if you can't do it, you got to learn how to bootleg the kingdom so enough people can get the practical grits and gravy application of how to put the damn seeds in the ground so it can grow and bring forth great fruit. It's called a harvest. But if you keep talking about how magic the seeds are and never put them in the ground, it really doesn't make any difference how marvelous them seeds are, because you're not going to sacrifice them to bring forth your harvest. So these practical applications that we're talking about right here, right now, are the building blocks of understanding how you move between the kingdoms to usher into your power to convince you that you are indeed a marvelous creator. And that's what Jesus was trying to do, too. And that's what Buddha's been trying to do. And that's what most all... And truthfully, minus the control aspect, it's what the Pope was trying to do. Pope's trying to stand between you and heaven's gate to help you along, to absolve you of all your misgivings and all your problems and sins and sniff and burn up all your frankincense and myrrh. But we're not pushing against any of that. No problem. No,
so Jesus,
no problem.
Jesus looked around and Buddhist is there. Buddha's there, Jesus there. Okay, Jesus, how many people got it from your teaching? What would Jesus say? Could he say how many got it?
Jesus would say, I came so all could.
All right, so there's no end point, no finish line.
Well, there is if there was a beginning point,
what'd you
a
say?
Starting place.
Yeah,
there ain't one. You
okay.
Can't find one.
Yeah, we know.
So there's no end place.
Yeah. So when I say, Jesus, how many of you have got your message, he couldn't say because it would include all eternity and all those are going to get it, you know, eternally down the road there.
Well, you know, if you caught Jesus on a really good day, guess what he'd say?
Nobody got it.
No.
What would he say?
We don't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. That's what I said. I'm on the Jesus.
Good. Well, I'm going to relax. I'm a
deity. He was trying to teach it, but he didn't care who got it. So
it didn't make any difference to him. The rain falls on the just and the unjust.
He couldn't stop. He couldn't stop himself from teaching and talking.
Yeah, because once you know, you can't unknow.
Right. So he was talking about what people could know, and he just told them. But he himself didn't care if they heard it.
Right. And you go back to when Jesus was a little boy, when he was coming into his power, and they had a great wedding, and a bunch of people came, and they had big fat cats, real big deals, came to the wedding, and they didn't have barrels of money because, you know, Joseph was just a carpenter. He wasn't a corporate magnate. And they run out of wine. Well, if you have a wedding party, they bring gifts. So you got to have good food and good wine and lots of it. Well, Jesus' mother, Mary, that saintly one, said, Jesus, take these barrels and get us some wine. And he said, Mama, I can't do that. You know I can't do that. It's kind of like on Bewitched when they were trying to teach the Tabitha not to wriggle her nose so the neighbors could see she was magical.
Mm.
Well, they sent Jesus with them big old jugs, huge big jugs, and he took and filled them up with water.
This is when Jesus was 30 years old during his mission?
No, this was when Jesus was 9.
Okay.
At the wedding, his mama said, Jesus, fill up them jugs and get some wine. His mama knew. And he's like, Mama, I can't do that. I can't do that. Yes, Jesus, it's more important for us to have wine than for you to not show out. So Jesus filled up the jugs with water and moved them in there and blessed the jugs. And it was wine. And they started pouring it. And then the guest said, hey, wait, stop. Mm-hmm. Something's going on here. And the master of the ceremony said, what in the world are y'all doing? They always serve the best wine first. And here we've been drinking Mad Dog 2020 most of the evening, and now you've brought out the good wine.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's where those what you call miracles happen. And that was as simple as feeding an alcohol-induced frenzy. That's what your Savior was good at.
Stimulating an alcoholic-induced frenzy.
Yeah.
He stimulated.
And he didn't have a problem with that. He was a marvelous creator. He just did what his mama asked him to do.
And she knew he could do miracles.
Well, apparently, or she certainly wouldn't have asked him to fill up the jugs with water, because then he would have really, you know, if they're full of water, there ain't no room for the wine.
Did you know that about Jesus, Carol, that he performed a few miracles when he was young?
Yeah.
You did know that?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So he was a special kid already. All right, so... But
no more special than you.
Right. Now, the frequency we manage...
Matter of fact, he said specifically, the things I've done on this earth, you will do and greater things.
And then he said, however, but Bob will do even greater than what you greater people will do.
Okay. He'd probably say Bob already has, but he doesn't seem to remember. And when he thinks about remembering, then he realizes that he doesn't know and he doesn't care. So we'll wait. We will wait. With the heavens will stand in abeyance until he does.
So
if you want to run it like that, you can, and then it's all propped on you.
Yeah. So
it can serve you well.
Yeah, it can serve you well.
Yeah.
What? Having the world wait with bated breath. Have the heavens wait with a bated breath.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. okay. Good. And that's a wise thing to know and utter, but never do.
Help with the angles.
Okay, we'll get that. Just this thing. That's right.
So.
But that's only half of it. The other half believes
it. Oh, yeah, little faith.
I'm 50-50 ion.
The only thing, yeah, I know.
Which is like nowhere, so I should go 51-49. That's pushing me.
Yeah, at least you wouldn't be spewing out of your mouth. It would either be too salty or not salty enough.
What would?
But this, your beliefs.
You say so, I don't.
Spice them up. Get them too spicy. There's nothing wrong with that. Then you can decide how much salt you really do like.
Right. And you're saying...
Put a little sugar in your system. Put a little sugar in your system. Then you'll know when you've had enough. You don't know when you've had enough. You take a spoonful and then you...
Take another spoonful.
Right. It's like the Chinese laugh at the nasty Americanos with their tea. It says, you Americans, you can't figure out nothing. You boil water to make it hot. You put ice in it to make it cold. This is talking about making tea.
Yeah.
You put sugar in it to make it sweet. And then you put lemon in it to make it sour.
Well,
Make up your mind.
No, it's a combination of all that.
Well, yes, indeed. But they don't see it. They see tea as tea.
Yeah, they're not into that. They can't handle the alchemy of Americans.
Exactly. But see, the context or the contrast, which you can call tactility,
mm-hmm.
brings forth, especially from the Old South, this marvelous concoction of southern, of the table wine of the South is good homemade sweet tea.
The Chinese never invented that, but the Americans did in the South.
Correct.
Okay, Carolyn, I get a suspicion that Ion digresses because it doesn't want to tell us the angle stuff or is nervous about going in there because again we've talked about a whole bunch of stuff and.
We don't mind. We don't mind giving it all to you. We'd like to do it in one sentence and then go to the beach. But it's an ebbing and a flowing process. You've got to get it. Otherwise, the words don't mean a thing. Then okay. We fight over pronouns.
What are you pointing at yourself for, Carol?
It's up to us.
Right. So the thing is, I'm just saying we did an hour or whatever. All these different things. So some of it useful. And then Ian says, we're trying to get to the practical stuff, and now we're going to ask about the angles, but Carolyn's always trying to get the practical stuff and doesn't really get it, or if she does get it, she doesn't do it or something, right? You've got
well,
to,
it's a process, but you wait, you're farther along.
Yes.
You're farther along. You'll know more about it.
Good. So
tempted and tried with.
What? Tempted?
Tempted. Remember the song, Farther Along? The one you like?
Yeah.
The best book thing?
Yeah.
The words of that are very significant.
Okay, tempted along is in that.
Come on, Bob.
Yeah, tempted
along. Ask about angles.
You ask about, Carol. Let's get
thank you. Okay, how important is it for us to know about these two angles between inner and middle and
you
under
and
middle?
You will never be able to achieve a comprehensive understanding of the three kingdoms without understanding the two angles or proximity between the three from a two-angled standpoint. You will never be able to understand it until you come to this place of getting the angle business. It's critical. That's what it is.
And is it never be able to understand the distance between me and me? Is that what we're not...
And the access of you through the kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
Something can tug at your heartstrings in the inner kingdom that can affect your outer kingdom, but never make it to your middle kingdom, and then you die of a broken heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got that.
There you go. That's there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And can you give me some more analogies about the angle so I understand more what that is?
Okay. In the outer kingdom, you'd like to enjoy space travel.
Mm-hmm.
But there's never been any space travel before. But the inner kingdom says, wait a second, we're trying all day, every day to stay grounded to this earth. But the outer kingdom wants us to go to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Or the moon, to Alice, to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the inner kingdom, you can have a little strife between the kingdoms. Well, the middle kingdom almost doesn't care. It just wants everybody to be happy over there.
Mm-hmm.
Where's over there?
Between the two kingdoms, the heart, settle it in your heart, and then the outer kingdom being whole in your body, whole in your earth.
Okay, whole in your body, and the inner kingdom is settled in your heart.
The phrase, let there be peace on earth, has to do with the outer kingdom.
Okay, yeah.
But the phrase, peace be still, is in the middle kingdom.
Yeah, okay.
And then the phrase is, I want to find peace in my heart
mm-hmm.
over this matter. That's the inner kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get the angles between those, it really won't make any difference in your world because you got three sets of two conversations going on.
Okay then. If we don't get the angles right,
the angles, yeah.
If you don't understand the angles. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, could it be then, you're saying angles, but could it be like a percentage, like the middle kingdom understands the outer kingdom a certain percentage?
Nope.
So it's not a percentage?
No.
If it's not a percentage, what...
It's a trigonometry to get you to understand your proximity between the kingdoms. And every single thought could vary, you see. And it depends on the angle in which it is pursued sets the angle that gives you the proximity between the three kingdoms. Is that simple? I mean, I don't want to be hard.
When you have an idea and yep. then you place it up against your outer kingdom and inner kingdom, are you trying yep. to determine what, put a numerical value on the angle?
No.
Well, what's the point of it then?
Well, but see, you're trying to apply a scientific aspiration to a direction, and that's not that way at all. Can we do one like the book? Is that okay to do that? Would that be simple, or is that too not appropriate?
I don't know. I mean,
you write a book.
Yeah.
Why do you write a book? What's the reason? You want to affect the outer kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You want others to enjoy that work and get good out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you poured your heart, the inner kingdom, into this work, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what angle or percentage or value does that attach to that? None whatsoever. The middle kingdom will arrive when the work is embraced by other human creators and helps them figure out their angles of how to navigate their world, their universe, their life. And you got to start somewhere. You start with the basics, and that's what you did in your first work.
Well, then it's just, if it's not a numerical value, if it's not a percentage, but if it's just an angle, then all you're saying is you just got to know that there's a relationship between middle and inner and middle and outer.
Yeah,
and
each one of those is two angles, so every conversation is two conversations. So every access to the kingdoms would have two choices. Good. Yes. It's that simple.
Okay, then I think I got it.
Yeah, because it's not about 12 degrees,
yeah.
44 degrees,
yeah.
We're off by this much, so we have to correct our path.
Yeah, right.
Never know, because every conversation is different. It could be as easy as, how do I make food that my husband will enjoy that won't be packed full of sugar? That's an angle.
Say that again.
Well, how much is that? You don't know how much it is, because he'll balk. He wants more, you see. So it's that angle of a, we don't want to say even a mediocrity of a happy medium. What we want to do is get the fullness thereof. Well, once you understand the two different paths or angles, then you can have the fullness thereof just by simply saying how wonderful it is, period.
So right there you say, once you understand the two different paths or angles,
yes.
So you're saying
yes.
an angle can be a path.
Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
So I think the angle just threw us off in terms of the geometrics of it.
Well, but okay, maybe. But every direction has to be a geographical angle, doesn't it? You go to the beach in a geographic pathway, do you not?
Yeah, but path would have made it easier.
But path means it's an action. There's no action required here. It's just that you understand you can get to the beach many different ways.
Gotcha. Yeah, but an angle, maybe it's, if we describe an angle, it's more like this way instead of this triangle.
Yes, and we would have done it that way, except for your Christian church has spent millennia trying to get you to understand the way.
Gotcha.
And
yeah.
Nobody gets it.
Right.
So
okay.
We thought, well, that's been tried and didn't work, so let's try one that does work.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the doctor says, well, we can do this process, and if it doesn't work, then we'll do this process. Then you say, well, doctor, why don't we just go to the last one that will work and
yeah.
skip all those other ones.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what they do with magnesium. They say, well, we'll use these five different types of blood pressure drugs, and if that doesn't work, we'll use magnesium. And actually, that usually works.
And if the Lipitor doesn't kill you, then maybe the magnesium you'll survive.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Carol, who says that usually works?
I have that in my magnesium book, that internist guy.
Someone else said that.
Yeah.
So an angle, it's like, you know, when people say in business or whatever, well, what's this guy's angle?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's the user, it's the content. Everybody has their own journey, their own process. Mm-hmm. Their angles is your method.
Mm-hmm.
Your natural inclination of how you're going to do it.
It's just like your fella on the radio show that has a question for us and says, what do you see in it? We've written a marvelous, wonderful book. Well, what do you see about our book?
Yeah.
And we say, well, what do you see in your book? Well, we see nobody's buying it. Nobody's reading it. It must not be a very good book. And we go, well, then that's why no one's reading it.
Yeah, he says we see no one buying it. That is,
right.
When you say we, you think you're saying it. But he goes,
yeah.
And normally he would go, I see no one buying it. You said we. See, there's a way of the confusing. He's referring to Nat. One person is a we, Carolyn. And so we think, oh, is that man? Anyways, then the next sentence is, and we respond, well, they ain't any good, or whatever you said. So the
if
angle,
your book was that good and you knew it, you wouldn't have to ask non-physical how good your book was.
Yeah. So the angle,
you wouldn't think, you'd know.
Right. So we had this word angle yesterday, and we took it mathematically, geometrically, and all that.
Right.
Misinterpreted. Nylon did not.
No, it's not a misinterpretation. You pondered it. And the contrast that was caused from that pondering got you to the place where you could get it. Fabulous.
And we get it today, 24 hours later.
Because now when someone else you bump into that asks you a question and they go, well, if I do this with trigonometry, how can I, or calculus through an equation, how can I write this down to make this empirical science that you'll go down in the records as being the best ever at calculating all? And you'll understand it to a point that you'll be able to even take them through this contrast that you've already been through and can let them play with
those
numbers.
No, see, no, too many pronouns. See, we encounter someone, and first thing is we mention the word angles to them, and we know they're going to go the numerical way. We let them run around for a couple of weeks trying to figure out the angles. And then
right.
We say, oh, no, we didn't mean that. Or we don't say
no.
No, that's what I think you were meaning, but I didn't get any. So why don't you restate a bit slower what you were saying there when we encounter somebody.
Oh, just put it in one sentence.
Yeah, and maybe say Tom and Bill so we know. Instead of saying you, me, we, because you do switch it. You're
Tom
not consistent.
And which Bill and
what?
Which Bill.
You're not consistent, but you can prove and justify every way you do it. Because if I say, well, Nat is an I, he's a we. All right, see?
He is a we.
Then you would say he's a we. We can't argue that. If we accept your premises, which we're doing, and the
all Ion is trying to say is that if we write about this angle business and we state it all out and explain it, but then some people just say, well, do you mean the angle in geometry? We'll already have gone through that and we can explain it. That's all.
And do it softly, because you had the same experience as well.
No, it's not an angle.
Oh, okay. So Ion didn't want to say the word way. The Christians blew that one. So
right.
He said, okay,
right.
Let's say angle to the stupid physical people. We'll say angle. They'll think it's mathematical. And that is what we want them to do to, for some reason, get them to run around a rabbit hole about the mathematical angle. And then 24 hours later, we'll tell them, no, it's not that. It's users of content. So, so we're supposed to redo that, not as...
No, just exactly as I said it.
Why even say the word angle? Say it,
because the way doesn't work,
right, so
the path doesn't work.
Yes, but that's what it means. So you.
Well, when we talk about angle, we'll say it means path and way. Instead of letting people think it's geometry, but some people will look at angle and immediately think geometry, and then...
And we'll tell them in the second sentence, hey, it's not geometry.
Right.
And then we're just saying the way, why are you saying angle? Oh, it's an idiosyncratic thing because we don't like the way the word way is, but it's the same meaning. You see, it's weak. It's silly, you know. You can't...
Well, now,
you have to say
right,
angles. You have to say
then
angles and not... Listen, Ian, just a minute. Fine. You have to say angles and not give it away. Let them run courses and people get degrees.
Yeah.
Thinking it's
well,
anything about trigonometry.
Good,
and then two
good.
Years,
what
10 years
mean?
Later,
what
you know, oh, by the way, that meant way. You know.
Guess why. Guess why.
Because if you do it simple in the first sentence, it's silly to even bring up the word. But also use way, because that's what people... You know, the other thing is, he doesn't
not
mean
everyone
it,
is confounded.
Not everyone
is confounded.
But here's the point. The other half of the story is...
The point is
that angle... Why? You don't need to win. And I'm not trying to win, but you can back off. Because there's no point in saying stuff again here. The other point is, half point, he does mean it mathematically. There is a mathematical aspect to
it. I'm sure.
Okay, let's go back to...
We got that with the pyramids, and which we'll have to get to.
Well, let's see how that relates to someone's path and way.
Mm.
Okay.
Let's put the two together now.
Okay, Ion.
We'd like to have a lead.
The angle issue of why some may get it that way. Some people, like Carolyn, processes different words and phrases differently from the dynamic. They could, Bob. You can, Bob. It is possible, Bob, to actually do it from an algebraic formula. You can navigate your way with geometry. These are the angles. If you remember the very beginning when you were asking us how many we were, and we said we're dodecahedron, and you said, well, how many entities are you? And we said every angle of a dodecahedron,
right.
Each step of that angle is a different actual angle,
right.
And that's a different entity.
Right.
You literally, if you had a big enough plastic box that could count in your binary code, you could actually come up with an equation that would accurately calculate the number that is us.
Right, the number of angles, that slight, I don't know how much each angle is different.
Well, I know you don't, but the plastic box does, and someone who understood the angle part may just get it right out of the chute.
Yeah, you see, you come up with four zillion and
they go perfect. They go perfect. This is what was wrong with the Christian dogma, is they always kept saying, everybody will be happy over there, but they never said where over there was. You see?
Well, they did. They
said everybody will be happy here, then they'd understand it. But then they go, well, wait a minute. Everybody will be happy over here. Well, I'm here, and I'm not happy, so that's not true. So, Ion, what you're saying is a damn lie, because everybody will not be happy over here because everybody's not happy here. And we say, oh, yes, but you certainly can't be. You see? Just because you're not allowing happiness to find you doesn't mean happiness isn't about you, around you.
Okay, with the angles, then the double angles. You're saying there's two angles, so let's just go into that a little more.
Carolyn,
Carolyn, the two angles.
Is that downstairs available for me?
Yes, Bob.
Okay, thank you.
So the two angles. Now, the reason that there are two angles between the three kingdoms is because those three kingdoms would confine all that you call your human experience on your earth.
Those two angles would confine them. All of
it. Yes, between the three kingdoms of what you have in your physicalness. Well, let's just say the whole package on planet Earth
would
all be covered within the three kingdoms. And in the distance between each of those kingdoms, there are two angles that separate those kingdoms.
But in which makes it four angles.
Well, we did that already because it's, you know, you have access to the inner, the outer, and that's a path, and that's an angle, and then from the middle is an angle, and then back and forth. But you're trying to get it all in the middle kingdom. You're trying to have the full Monty experience in the middle kingdom.
Oh, right.
And that's why the angles are important, because they are paths that can connect all three kingdoms.
So is there something that you allow to happen with the angles so that they all allow you to relate everything in the middle kingdom?
We would say yes, and we have an easy example. Like, your electronic things and your light switches and things, you have two ways, typically, on or off.
Yeah.
There's two angles of that light switch.
Right.
One angle is on and one angle is off.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have a three-way switch, you know, like at the stairs, you can turn it on at the bottom and then turn it off at the top.
Mm-hmm.
That would connect the upper level lighting and the lower level lighting on the same path through different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in a whole different plane on the second level of your house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See? So when you say it that way, you go, oh, yeah, okay. So that's mm-hmm. an example of understanding the twist of the angles. It's not a complete one, but it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then you also have different elements through the kingdoms. Let's do it this way. You have three kingdoms. Is the weather, the physical weather on your planet that is in around you, is it the same in all three kingdoms? For example, if it's a rainy day, is it rainy in the middle kingdom? Yes. Would it be rainy on the inner kingdom and the outer kingdom? And we say it absolutely could.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but doesn't necessarily have to, because guess what? You could be blue in the inner kingdom. Do you understand blue, malaise?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In your heart,
mm-hmm.
in the inner kingdom. And because of that feeling place of blueness, you literally could affect the middle kingdom and cause it to rain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we're on a roll here. Now let's say you're out walking to the beach and you get caught in a little shower.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just as happy as a lark and it's no problem. Inner kingdom, just tickled.
Mm-hmm.
Middle kingdom, left on a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
Rain came and it hit your skin and you noticed dampness on your body that wasn't from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Then guess what? The outer kingdom then can affect rain and it be in your middle kingdom. Okay? Now it's
the outer kingdom can affect rain. You mean can notice,
yes.
Can embrace rain.
And then it'll be in your middle kingdom. And you'll go, well, look at that. It's raining.
Why do you say affect rain?
Well, no. We didn't say affect rain. We said would affect the middle kingdom.
No, I mean, the words you said were then the outer kingdom can affect rain and
yes.
be
if
in
you
your middle kingdom.
Yes, if you get caught in the rain,
mm-hmm.
you're on, in the outer kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and it hits your skin,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you didn't even know it was raining, and then you start feeling wet stuff
mm-hmm.
on your body,
mm-hmm.
that's rain in the outer kingdom that would then be moved to your middle kingdom in your experience,
mm-hmm.
practically.
Mm-hmm.
But now let's give another example. And this will get fun here. Let's say you're going to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
You did not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
You leave, you're in your middle kingdom, and you decide in your inner kingdom that there's something going on, we'll go to the movies. And we don't go to the movies. That's a foreign thing. It hadn't been forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided that the inner kingdom says, let's go play with this. It'll be fun. Okay. You dressed accordingly. You prepared for the experience so you wouldn't be sleepy. You were together. So great, you tear off to the movies. Beautiful day, everything's nice, everything's good or cloudy or whatever it was. Okay, in the movie, the outer kingdom can have a storm and have a really big rain shower and can stop raining. And you know how the rain is there, it can rain and dry up in 30 minutes and you know, you couldn't even, if you didn't know it was raining, you wouldn't necessarily have known it ever rained.
Right.
So the outer kingdom can experience rain while you're in the confines of the movie theater being avatared and never even experience it in your middle kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay,
so that brings up the next aspect of talking about the outer kingdom. It's outside your physical body.
Yes.
And then...
And all your unrealized creations are there too.
Okay. And then if you feel it feel the outer kingdom, does my physical body have an outer kingdom as well as the outside world have an outer kingdom?
No. There is no outside world. Unless you're bringing in parallel worlds, but I thought we were leaving them at bay until we understood this.
You mean...
Last night we were talking about, we thought these kingdoms were describing something beyond our psychology or us. We're now learning, no, it's not true, it's describing us. And that the external world is the parallel world.
No.
So we're not talking about the external world.
But if you...
Well, no. There is an external world, but that external world is part of your world. Otherwise, it won't be.
Okay, so there's no division.
Yeah. Go ahead, Carol. I don't want to.
Well, if so if I'm in a movie and the Outer Kingdom has a rainstorm, it doesn't really have a rainstorm because I don't know it. It doesn't impinge on me, so it didn't happen.
That's correct. But there can be empirical evidence when you come out of the movie where everything is clear and it's nice and everything is wet. You know what I mean? You can tell the trees have had moisture, and then you can notice. Wow, in my world, in my outer kingdom, while I was enjoying my middle kingdom, we had a lovely, refreshing shower. How nice that is.
Why bring in this outer kingdom a bit? In your middle kingdom, you had the rain, but you didn't experience it because you're in a theater. That's it. Why bring in the outer kingdom? What is this outer kingdom factor? What's the relevance of
it? The Grand Wilaya for you is in the outer kingdom.
Well, that's an unrealized creation.
That's right.
All right, so the outer kingdom...
It's like a rain shower that happens that you don't experience.
Yeah, but that did happen. And then
so it's like things in our...
the Grand Wilaya.
Yeah, I know, Grand Wilaya had happened to you.
So it's like things kind of in the periphery that we can bump up against is our outer kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
When you have spirits in your house...
That outer kingdom?
That's how they come in, is through the outer kingdom.
Well, then what is the outer kingdom? Have you defined it?
Yeah.
What is it?
The mantle.
Oh, that was geography. What is it? The mantle. It's not the...
Well, if you let us finish a sentence, we'll tell you.
It's a crust, Carol. The outer kingdom is the crust.
Oh, sure, yeah, crust.
Yeah.
I'm glad you let me
That's
finish,
what we're
Carol.
Gonna say. Well, I'm glad you no, let that me finish. No, that was it. That's what we're going to say. It would be the part... If Bob licked you on your ear...
Mm-hmm.
That would be licking you on your crust.
Or outer kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay, see, but... But you'd feel it in your middle kingdom. Right.
But if you were sound asleep and didn't notice it, he could lick your ear and you wouldn't even know it.
And the middle kingdom would not know it.
Right.
Okay, so Gurdjieff said there was the intellectual center, the emotional center, and the movement center, the sex center, and physical center. It sounds like the interplay of those five things, it's not exactly what you're talking about, but you're talking about the makeup, this is the anatomy of the human that should be taught at med schools, is what you're describing. And it is
absolutely
inner
because
center.
Otherwise why would you need such a vast neuron schematic to keep up with all of these inputs that are coming into your middle kingdom?
Yeah, you need them for all of this.
Carolyn, how many miles of nerves do you have in the human body?
Many.
Yeah, you got a lot. And so you're saying...
Why do you need all that if it's the middle kingdom?
Well, they tried to say your physical body is very complex, very amazing.
No, it's not.
And yeah, they say it's very amazing and you need all that. So that's... And they're not saying, no, you need all that because you're taking in data from the other world, which is the outer kingdom.
Yeah.
You're taking data beyond what the biology shows you, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just like CERN. CERN is giving representation of the outer kingdom. And then people are in their inner kingdom are noticing that they're playing with fire. And then they go, wait a second, this is something interesting. Oh, we don't understand it, so it must be an abomination. Okay, so then they get it all twisted around and they find out something and they end up proving that there is no time. Mm-hmm. Then guess what? The outer kingdom can give empirical evidence to prove in the middle kingdom that we've got this all screwed up. We've had it screwed up all along. The world really isn't flat. Sorry, never mind.
So, the outer, you talk about your skin as the outer kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But one shouldn't be limited by the image of the skin.
Right.
That was just
a way to give a pictorial so you could understand it. Like the inside.
In other words, we're taking in the outer kingdom. You know how our non-physical is bigger than our physical?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a big bubble?
Yeah.
These are the parts of the non-physical, maybe.
They can be, absolutely. And we have an example. Now, we are non-physical.
I'm sorry, I have to question
that,
Bob. What do you mean, these? What does these refer to, Bob?
The three kingdoms are a breakdown of this vague, vacuous term called non-physical. And I don't think it's totally non-physical, because Ion said this is not non-physical, but it's non-physical in there. But this is sort of like the image that our non-physical picks up a lot. It's so big, it's picking up all kinds of things, like 6 billion people and all that. You're picking it up, and that allows you to cause earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
These three kingdoms are a way of thinking of some aspect of the bigger part of the bubble that's bigger than your body.
Mm-hmm.
This is the makeup of the bubble. When Ion says it's bigger, when he says non-physical is bigger than the physical, this is what the non-physical is made up of.
Yeah. Okay. Is that good, Ion?
Yes, it's fabulous.
Yeah, because the heart, the inner core, that's like hunches, which is non-physical. The middle kingdom is the now, which is everything.
All there is.
Yeah, all there is. And then there's the outer kingdom, which tunes you in with your million miles of synaptic nerves, tunes you into everybody on the planet and everything else.
Which allows other experiences into your peripheral view or into your horizon.
Is that involved with parallel worlds? No.
Not yet.
It's anomalous experiences in this world is what it allows.
Now, Carolyn, I have to be fair, and I don't want to confuse. There is a huge voluminous amount of voluminous work when you start bringing in parallel worlds to understand this, the kingdoms. So we said no, but it actually kind of is. But we don't want to open that till we're ready to use it.
We're just dealing with this world right now.
Yes, because once you get this, then that makes it easy. Because, see, we gave it to you before. Everything you needed, everything you wanted, everything you desired to do what you wanted to do.
You gave what to us before?
That information.
Parallel worlds and remembering you.
Oh, you mean before this? You gave us like a bigger picture. It's like a bigger world.
Well, you said, I want to do this. Can I do it? And we said, yes. How do I do it? Do it this way. And we had Bob tote night cubes over threshold.
Yeah, hold on. So are we saying you didn't have to give us that before?
No, he gave it, and then we didn't really...
You didn't embrace it
enough, so we have to go at it this way.
Well, is this just an ad hoc model that Ion's made up to sort of come, like the word angle instead of the word way?
Nope.
Okay. No, it's if we had gotten it, you still would have had to go into this. Correct?
We would happily, but then you'd have it. It would be a way different. Your questions would be way different if we were doing it in a parallel world.
No. If we learned to parallel world travel, you know, by last month, and we did.
You did.
Then you would still have to talk about the three kingdoms.
No, your question would be, Bob
you mean
would have a conversation with Bob. Yes, Bob would have a conversation with Bob.
Right.
Bob would say, Bob, you know, we were in a parallel world. And when we were in that parallel world, a weird, strange thing I noticed. Inside the parallel world, there seemed to be a separation within that parallel world that we were in. Did you notice that, Bob? Well, yes, Bob, I did notice that. As a matter of fact, it was a little bit strange. It seemed not quite upside down, but there seemed to be a separation. It seemed to be divided into three specific kingdoms. There seemed to be a middle kingdom, an inner kingdom, and an outer kingdom. And that's very interesting because, Bob, you know, Bob, I noticed that. And, well, Bob, I did too. That's interesting that you said that because while I was paralleling in another world, sitting on the mantle, through a keyhole of a door that I couldn't penetrate, I noticed that in the place where I was, outside of this world. And when I noticed that sitting on the mantle, I noticed how interesting the division was between these three individual worlds or kingdoms, not worlds, kingdoms. And that's very interesting, Bob, because when we came back, Bob, did you notice that there's probably the same type thing here? Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because, Bob, when I saw it back in this world, it didn't feel quite the same way. It felt a bit foreign to me. Yes, Bob, but when you noticed when you went downstairs, you went to a different level, but yet you're still in your same house, Bob's house. All right, Bob, very good. Okay, so you're saying that that division that we noticed in the parallel world that we remembered and experienced is actually also in this particular world. Bob, you have figured it out. How very wonderful. So you're mean, Bob, that if we can draw in the middle kingdom, the inner kingdom, if we can draw to the middle kingdom, the inner kingdom, which is our inside, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart, and experience it through the outside kingdom, or maybe say outside things, the chip body would introduce things from the outer kingdom. Correct?
Yeah.
Yes, Bob, that's probably how that would come. Oh, so when we allow those creations to be validated, that has to come from the outer kingdom. Yes, in that outer kingdom, you can read a story, Bob, on your chip box that said about somebody crying in Haiti from the outer kingdom, and it can move your inner kingdom to emotion. And it might even suggest in your middle kingdom to give them a donation or send them $5 or send them the salad, send them Callan's nut pate that you didn't want to eat anyway, and then they'd be happy forever because they'd be fed and nutritiously sustained. Well, that would come from the middle kingdom. And then you could figure that all out. But you'd have the conversation between you and you. And you almost kind of have, and you know why we're saying that, Bob? Because you are now having that conversation now in your middle kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Are you right now, Carol?
Yeah.
What was the question that led to that answer? You're now having it.
Outer, other worlds, parallel
Haiti,
world.
Haiti, being affected, send $5 to Haiti, and then it slipped into this thing that ended up with the punchline, this is Bob now. So what was
the conversation is between you and you, and you know why we are saying that, Bob? Because you are now having that conversation in your middle kingdom.
Because you had it in a parallel world.
Right, and is the conversation between Bob, the conversation you described where I saw the Haiti and decided to send $5?
Yes.
That was a conversation with myself? That was a conversation with myself.
With yourself.
Yes, everything has to be Bob. When you have a conversation with Bob, you have to validate it through those damned bodies. So that was the way Bob, you took it to the other Bob, was how the chip body could move your inner kingdom from your outer kingdom and have an effect on your middle kingdom.
Right. So,
you did that, as a matter of fact.
I did what?
Have that conversation in a parallel world.
And we can't say when.
Well, we can, but there's no time.
Right. So, I had it, or I am having it now, or... I had it before this one.
Well, wherever you got it...
It's still going on.
Wherever you got it, you drug it home to this middle kingdom and having conversation now with non-physical regarding it.
Oh, I see. I had... all that Ion said over the last 10 minutes, I heard said to me in a parallel world?
Yes.
Okay.
You and you had that conversation just like that.
Right. And so what...
There wasn't a single pronoun that you didn't understand.
Yeah, but what about
it? Because it was between Bob and Bob.
Yeah, well, yeah. But what's that got to do with us getting techniques and how to do whatever? Ian keeps saying, let's get down to nitty-gritty. And I used to do that in the medical thing, or used to do it earlier. We'd say, get to nitty-gritty, and then Ion would go and remember we were trying to figure out how to parallel world or whatever it was back in May, and Carol would say, well, I want to know how to do it. And he would never, Ion could never get to tell you how to do it. He would always just digress off in examples. You remember that frustration, girl?
Mm-hmm.
Well, are we getting that now? We got this whole Bob conversation, but you want to know...
No, what that was in answer to was if you had been traveling to parallel worlds and remembering it, you would have come across these three kingdoms on your own and figured it all out. That's all.
Mm-hmm. And would have discussed it from a... I noticed something very interesting.
Oh, okay.
Ion.
Yeah, hold it, Ion. So the thing I perked up on was when I was on the mantle as a figurine looking through a keyhole or something, that was me noticing another kingdom?
Parallel world.
You were in it.
Yeah, I was in a parallel world, and I was noticing a division you were talking about, a separation. Was that a separation?
The three kingdoms.
Yeah, when I looked through the keyhole and noticed another room... That's a separation. I was experiencing separation, and you're saying that was a metaphor or the actual way I noticed there was more than one kingdom.
What was the act? No, no, no. That's how you noticed there was another world.
You didn't.
Oh, that's parallel world related, not the kingdom stuff.
No.
Okay.
But when you were sitting on the mantle in the other room.
Which you did mention in the whole story there, so that's why I'm bringing it in.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
And when you were sitting on the mantle, you couldn't quite participate in that other world.
Right, yeah.
But you couldn't, you did notice the three, the separation of the three kingdoms in the other world.
In that experience?
Yes.
Well, you were just saying, no, I didn't, that was parallel world stuff. So now you're saying, yes.
But no, there was a keyhole.
Yeah.
Looking through the keyhole at yourself on the mantle. Now he's going to the mantle view.
No.
Yes.
I've always
you
seen,
have you
here's
have
my experience. Let's begin with my experience that I'm referring to. I was looking through something, a hole, Carolyn, mm-hmm. and these people were making movements and faces.
Yeah.
I found out that I was a figurine on a mantle,
right.
And I was looking out the eyeball of the figurine or something and looking at these people, okay?
Right.
Yeah. And I was in the parallel world and looking out, and I protected myself by having a figurine around me and hiding, you know?
Right.
Okay, that's the experience I'm referring to. Any guys care to explain how it relates to the kingdoms or the parallel worlds? Or?
We've told you three times, but we'll try one more time. And the figurine on the mantle that Bob was looking through.
Is there a metaphor in this mantle word, since mantle is the term for the
Let
third kingdom?
Let him finish his sentence.
No,
I'd like to hear his sentence.
Yeah, we're going
to
get that, but I keep being distracted by the fact that it was on a mantle, and that is the third, that's the symbol for the word for the third kingdom, the middle kingdom, Carolyn, right?
True.
Okay, so is there something about that? Was that a metaphor for what I'm learning now by being on a mantle? Do you know what I mean, Ion? In that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Was it a metaphor?
No.
Okay, good. Forget I'll drop it. It's not a metaphor. Forget it. Now, you can explain what you're about to explain, Ion, if you can remember.
You can remember, Bob.
You can remember?
Yes, Bob.
Good.
In the parallel world, your parallel world that you were in, on the mantle, as a figurine, looking through your eyes, the figurine, your eyes, your
neck. Yeah.
You noticed with your lying eyes over there that over there there were indeed three separate kingdoms.
In that experience, when I was in the figurine, I noticed that?
Yes.
Well, I don't recall that, and I don't know how I would see it by looking. Where do I see three kingdoms?
Well, then you're screwed.
No. We're just getting to the issue here, which you could illuminate. How could I? I'm looking at a bunch of faces oddly looking at me, blurry, and. You're saying that those faces and the little bit I was seeing was me recognizing there were three kingdoms?
There were three kingdoms, and if you notice the way you described it to JW in your dream world, was it some were long faces?
Yeah.
Some had big noses.
Right, I agree.
Like
they were different. They were different.
And you also described the way the hair was. Some was
big
hair, and some was like teased up.
Ratted
hair hoppers.
Well, actually, Ion was sort of saying, and I said, oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't have described anything, but you were describing it and sounded familiar, okay?
Correct.
Okay.
That room, it seemed to be divided into three parts.
Yeah, that I don't remember.
I understand. But so therefore, we answered it. You asked, we answered it, and then it may be some anomalous.
Okay, so you're saying there was something about that experience that indicates there were three kingdoms. I don't remember doing it.
Over there.
Yeah, over there. And then we just heard this whole conversation about it.
Yes, and then you came back over here, back to this world.
And Ion replayed it for me.
And trying to get you to understand that there are three kingdoms here.
Right, yeah.
That's why we didn't want to really
start. Oh, in that conversation you gave, that we're ahead in the other world, it was, I did not understand that there were three kingdoms over here from that conversation that I had.
Very good. Right. That's right.
You getting this, Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so now I come here and hear from Maya and there are three kingdoms here.
Correct. And you can use that experience and you can have it again and again and again. You can have the experience to validate that there are indeed three kingdoms when you parallel travel. And then it becomes a way to navigate your symbols.
Okay, we need to stop. How can I use that experience to verify something? You know, it just was a vague thing, a blur, and there's three faces, and I unclarified what they were.
Okay.
And apparently there were three kingdoms. I don't need to redo that blurring thing unless when I redo it, I would notice the three kingdoms a little clearly this time, a little more clearly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why I would redo Certainly. It. Not redo it exactly, well, redo it.
And it doesn't cooler. Have to be that way. It can be many ways. I mean,
So there were three Jesus because they were each improving on what they did before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Just a side thing. Three Moseses, and everybody's rehearsing. Okay, so, Carolyn, you can carry on. I don't know what... We did this whole thing. Is there anything more about what we're just doing that we need to go into?
Well, we have great fun when we listen to you as you're giving your progress of how you're doing. But it's as though that we found out there were parallel worlds and we couldn't do that. And then we found out that there were three kingdoms. We can't understand that. We don't know where we are and we can't figure out that.
Which is the best way to do this because you got to relax and allow and any thinking or acting towards it doesn't work. You were just going to go into the legend, though. You were just, I interrupted you when you said, now we have the legend. I think you're going to make an important point. We do need to know that.
Yeah, but we don't want to. But if we've already given it to you twice and it hasn't worked, so we're at it one more time.
Well, you gave the legend once, unless you mean the three kingdoms and the parallel worlds are legends. You know what I mean? You only gave us the legend once. We have it here. It hasn't been studied by me yet, right? Once. Why do you say you gave the legend twice?
Because we went over the symbols at least twice, and I have to go over them
again.
Oh, you mean
the two spirals, the two spirals.
The circle.
Is that what you mean, Carol? There's the 19 or whatever.
And there's a couple more symbols, and I have to find out where to put them in the map.
Keep going in your circle and wind it up or wind it down, meaning as you're stacking like your helix,
mm-hmm.
you know, the helix. Either way you want to stack it, doesn't matter. Just do it the same way.
Yeah, I'll do a reading on that.
Yeah, okay.
Now, right now, I need clarification about the outer kingdom.
Okay.
It's almost like there's an angles between the physical outer kingdom of our geography and the outer kingdom of my skin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
But they're both for simple basic understanding, just see them as the same.
Okay. Whatever brushes up against my skin is outer kingdom.
Correct.
And
whatever happens in Australia
is
also outer kingdom.
Yeah, whatever comes into my view is outer kingdom, and I created it because it's in my view.
Hey, Carol, it's like a triangle.
The basic structure
Bucky Fuller said is in the nature is triangle. And so you remember, it's the cosmic awareness symbol for self-awareness. Self-awareness is not just me knowing you. I see you through me, or I see myself through, you know, the two-ness. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You need another thing that's sort of aware of it as it's happening.
Oh, right.
So we're just talking about a triangle. It's a
three-point. Yes, but if we'd have just said it's a triangle, you would have banished us to the outer kingdom, Bob.
Yeah, well, you had this. Yeah, okay, I can grant you that. We've now
you
come...
You mean the observer?
Yeah, there's an observer of... I can't know myself unless there's something else to interact with. The object...
And you can't validate your position until you come into the place to know where you are.
Yeah, there's a meta level. You need to know that you are seeing yourself in someone else.
Thank you.
Right, so the triangle, we could actually bring back the cosmic awareness symbols a little bit.
Well, are we saying the triangle is middle kingdom, inner kingdom, and outer kingdom?
The three kingdoms are a triangle. And they adjust and fluctuate. That's why your skin, to think your outer kingdom is your skin is not right. To think it's Australia is not right. It's actually nowhere, but it's the third part. You can call it the inner kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the inner kingdom is the outer kingdom. It doesn't matter. There's a threeness aspect.
We'll wait our turn.
Yeah. It's not just one knowing, you know, remember, objects can't know themselves. They can only know themselves when they're relating to something else. Then you know you exist because you're relating to something else. That's two.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's, maybe just for humans, there's the thing that knows that's what's going on. And that's the third part. So the inner kingdom is the heart of the matter, and the middle kingdom is the convergence of the three factors, or the other two factors, and the outer kingdom is just the outer. So the outer looks at the inner, but it can't know it unless it goes through the third, through the middle kingdom.
Well, however, the outer kingdom can move the inner kingdom and can make you cry.
Right. If you take it, you've seen Bucky Fuller. He'll take a triangle and a bunch of tetrahedrons, and he'll start to go like this, Carol. Well, what's his name? Dan Winter did it. You move the, you press one a couple angles, and then it bounces the other angles up, and it you know, starts shifting around.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that approximately what we're talking about, Ian?
Yes, it is. Except the sacred geometry won't hold water, but there's many truths that can be wrought from if you can get past the
rigidity of the symbolism.
Yeah, rigidity. Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Like
that's correct.
Even saying it's a triangle, you don't want to stick too much into that, but it helps.
Because that limits.
Yeah.
That limits.
Any statement about this thing, it's almost like, hey, Cal, there are three aspects, and you get it. Okay, forget about that. You know, because you have to.
Well, but it's okay if you want to visualize it that way, but don't put it in a box or a frame. This is not difficult. It's actually relatively simple. The point is that these angles that we've given a pretty good attention to is just so you'll think about it, the two paths, but without adding any dogma to it. So
there are two paths. Is that like everybody does two paths? Is that what you're saying? Or there's got to be two
the
paths.
The duality.
There's always two of everything. So if you're on a path, there's another path. And that's what the two angles are referring to?
Yeah.
There's two paths. You know, you have the three parts of the triangle, Carolyn. There's two ways to go to develop any relationship between one point and another point.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the rule is you can't. But the two of them can't touch each other. That's what, you know, the middle kingdom.
Okay.
You can't have one point touch another. That sort of screws up everything.
Well, no, not really, because look, here's an example.
It shows the triangle is not adequate.
Good.
Yeah.
And that's why you have all the other shapes about the interlocking triangle.
Of the chandelier image.
Of the chandelier. But here's
Yeah, because the chandelier image kind of implies, like he said, there's a circle. I didn't see any circle there. I can definitely see the two triangles in the middle. Then there's a couple of curves, and they could imply anything, and that's good. It's just a suggestive Rorschach ink blot.
Here's the good news.
Is that, Bob, you like that statement? Suggestive of Rorschach.
Yeah, we do. Here's the good news, Bob. Here's the good news. The good news from your house, any direction you go, you're going to hit the beach.
I mean, if we went over the hill, Cal, over the mountain, it'd be the beach over
difference.
There.
It doesn't make any difference. You're going to hit ocean.
Okay, gotcha. Right.
Either way you go, you're going to hit ocean.
And that is
whether you believe it or not. It is.
And that can be a metaphor that we can't fail. If we think of the ocean as a desirable place to go to, when you live in Maui, you can't miss it.
Well, if you live anywhere, if you go, you will hit the ocean.
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
What do you mean eventually? You either will or you won't. It's not. There's no. Eventually alludes to a time.
Yeah, you'll hit an ocean. So so we're surrounded by ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is.
Uh-huh.
All right. So you're making a point about this.
Yes.
Okay.
Regardless, see, so it's simple. It's not difficult. It's just the dynamic that if you want to. Contain.
So the non-physical ocean, Ian is commented on non-physical being symbolized by the ocean, or the guff being an ocean, Carol. So the ocean 90% of us is water, the ocean, it's all around everybody, and you can't miss it.
Yes, and your inner kingdom will recognize when you get to the ocean. And your outer kingdom will say, I smell the sea breeze. I can smell the ocean. I can feel the breeze.
Oh, okay, so you're almost, the senses, you know, we have the five senses, Carol, that's obviously not enough. There should be 18 senses, I think Ion said, or many senses.
That's right. Good.
Because those are, the outer kingdom is your senses.
Mm-hmm.
But they are nebulous, what they are. But that's the outer. Then there's the inside of yourself. You actually think of your being, Carolyn. I know I look out and I experience the world. I know I have feelings inside. And then I have a point above that knows it. That's the triangle.
And then you find that when you look inward, to embrace these outer kingdom experiences.
Right. And that does get close to the relationship between the mind, the non-physical, and the physical. That's a triangle.
It's a long haul, but we finally got there.
What was that, Bob?
It's the triangle between the outer kingdom, inner kingdom, and the middle kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Very close to the triangle between physical and non-physical and the labyrinth of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is the labyrinth of the mind parallel, sort of similar to the middle kingdom?
Say it again, Bob, because...
If you take those three, the outer...
No, don't change it. Just say it again, because we don't want to add anything extra.
The middle kingdom
is
equal to, in the two triangles, is equal to the labyrinth of the mind position.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, not perfect.
But don't extrapolate that into anything else. If you can just leave it there... We say yes, but if you're going to do some extrapolation from there, then computer says no.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of this now that we're in is sort of like a stabilizing of all that can be or is, and the mind or the being stabilizes to this now. It's a lot bigger, and we have in the mind, if it's the thing that makes the rules and stabilizes what your system is, that's parallel to the idea of the role of the middle kingdom. But it doesn't totally work because the middle kingdom is an interplay of things, and the mind is, in the labyrinth of the mind, the physical and non-physical, they change positions, so anybody could be the mediator, you know, of those three.
We like moderator.
Moderator. But generally, the mind is the moderator, isn't it?
Well, not always.
Not always,
yeah.
But it determines the distance between you and you, the physical and non-physical. Its rules determine what's happening. And... You got to go through your mind.
Well, no, it validates how you feel about what's happening.
Right. And so the relationship between the outer kingdom and inner kingdom, they cannot come together unless the middle kingdom is there to negotiate it.
Uh-huh.
So they're very close. And when I came up with that three UFO, you finally got there. So you're saying they are kind of parallel. You know what I mean? They are parallelable, right?
Sure.
But... There's other, you wouldn't, there's something separate about them. They're not exactly relatable. What's common, though, is the triangle to both, Carol, or the image of triangles, the interplay between the three. You got two threes, right? Physical, non-physical, and labyrinth of mind, right, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
That's three, triangly pulsating with each other, right?
What happened to the tunas?
That is negotiated by the labyrinth of the mind in that triangle and by the middle kingdom. The tunis is the outer and the inner kingdom. So you go to the beach, you smell the beach, your inner heart does something else. Don't remember what it was, but it feels good about it or something. Remember what the inner heart, when you got to the beach?
Ion is scoping us.
Okay.
What happened? Did we lose you?
No.
We're going to look at Ion. Oh, I thought he was talking there. He's going to show us something. Yeah,
there it is. Okay. Oh, look, there's the triangles there. We didn't really see those.
They're not triangles. There are two parts of a triangle. There's triangles there, but that's not a triangle, Carol. It's got a curve.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there's lots of triangles in there.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Now, wait a second. Now, look, now you're seeing it now.
Yes.
Now, do you remember? You remember Ezekiel?
Yeah.
The wheels within wheels.
Ezekiel saw a wheel a rolling. So there's a wheel.
You see the wheels
the
around.
Oh, the wheels are implied.
No, they're not implied. They're physical. See?
Yeah, but they're not.
Them.
You don't see a complete circle. Right?
But you can extrapolate a complete circle.
Is that your C's when you're talking about C's?
No.
Those are not the C's. Yeah, you can extrapolate a circle, but just make sure we're seeing the same thing. It is a broken, it implies the other half. It's half a circle, it implies the other half. Right, Carol?
Right.
Okay, we see that, which is like suggestive. It's like, it's a good thing. It suggests, it's actually an image of tactility. If you think of tactility, it's not going to identify just triangles.
Mm-hmm.
Not just going to focus on circles. It's going to show the pulsating of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
you like that interpretation?
Sure. And you have a pyramid or a triangle.
Yeah.
Pointing up.
Right.
And you have a pyramid pointing down.
So when we have a pyramid, as we have on our website, an intelligent observer should know the opposite pyramid is implied.
Well, you also have your, what do you call it?
Merkaba.
Merkaba.
Yeah, that's on there.
It does it exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Because, see, what this interaction is the individual human pointing up and then what you call God pointing down. When they intersect,
right.
This is what you get. And now the wheels that are attached to those pyramids, see, if the circles were completed, you couldn't make out the, you would just be a bunch of lines. This
yeah,
line.
Ion, let me say this. I see that the basic interaction of the physical non-physical, the two pyramids, radiates out, as Ion stressed in the first 6 months, the wheels within wheels, but it also radiates out of triangles, and maybe there's some other forms there. They're all pulsating. The angle is one aspect. The circle is another aspect. You get it, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a drug experience.
And then the wheels on the bus go round and round, but then Ezekiel saw spokes in the wheel.
Oh, there's spokes there.
And look at them.
And they make angles.
And they actually make angles. And if you look at it, it also makes a square and a compass, which is your, we hate to go here because it's just going to sit.
But where is the square? Just if it's not obvious, where is the square here?
Okay, well, hey, let's see. Do you see the way this comes off in an angle? And then the curve?
Yeah, the spoke in the curve.
That's your compass of your, that's made infamous
that's
with your...
Freemasons, there's the compass, Carol. You know, the curve and the thing is sort of like a compass.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And see, then when you take this angle here, see where, yeah.
Where your finger is, yeah.
Yes, you see those two?
Mm-hmm.
That plane and intersection sets your plumb.
Oh, yeah, there's a plumb kind of suggestion
mm-hmm.
there, right?
Well, that will give you the angle of plumb and square.
Right.
When they hang the string with the bob.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To tell where straight is.
Right.
Right.
There you go.
So you've got the Freemasonic symbol embedded and suggested
well, no,
there.
They got it from us.
Right. What is this? Now, the square is not a square for corners. You meant the...
Plumb and square.
The plumb and square aspect of Freemasonry when you said the word
yes,
square.
Yes, see, this is square.
That's a flat, yeah. It implies...
Square.
Yeah.
Square. Square.
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Do it again. Where your hands are is one implied square.
That's square. And I'm not going to move it around to here and here and say square.
But that's right? Just good. That's just
yeah.
Good.
So square, 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 square.
Yeah, there's straight lines opposite each other, and there's six opposite each other. So this implied six squares, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Now, what's the point about square? You know, McLuhan's, he used the square as a tactility symbol, but what does square mean to you?
It's a proximity.
between you and you or something?
Mm-hmm. Or it could be as easy as through the kingdoms.
It's through the kingdoms.
Uh-huh.
A square is through the kingdoms.
Uh-huh.
You get that, Carolyn?
Not really.
Through. Why do you say through the kingdom? I mean, you got a square, and you're relating that to the three kingdoms.
Yes. We're trying to do it soft.
But that was good. I can see more in the image now, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mosaic you might see on LSD or something. It's what's called a moire, M-O-I-R-E, with an accent on it. French word meaning an overlayer, like table doilies can be laid over each other, and then you see different patterns underneath each other,
mm-hmm.
like transparent. It's like a doily. It's like a moire. There's Freemasonic symbols implied. You see, you know, there's different things that were suggested there, weren't there, Carol? What was the curves?
Mm-hmm.
Funny. Oh, yeah. It's like a Rorschach ink blot. You can see various shapes in there, but it tells you what to see, what you potentially can see.
So we were saying the square going through the kingdoms. What does that mean?
Each kingdom is plumb and square.
Plumb is just a thing hanging straight down. What does the square mean in that phrase?
That it's perpendicular.
A string perpendicular.
Plumb
and square does not involve the shape of a square. It just means it's perpendicular hanging down. Okay.
Yeah.
And that describes the angle.
That's correct. And that in each kingdom is squared off from the other. The same way Bob straightens his pillows,
mm-hmm.
he wants them plumb and square.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you say squared up, you mean perpendicularly related.
Even,
right. Okay.
You don't turn square one on a point
even.
And the other one. Between the three kingdoms, they're square.
Which mm-hmm. means they're even, they're lined up or something.
Lined up,
yeah.
good. But if we had said lined up, you'd have thought that was glib.
Right.
So...
We got to it this way.
That's why you do it the way you do it. Good.
All right. All right. So now that's what you, when people were looking at, you said people look at the chandelier, they get it. I thought you were talking about the hanging crystals or whatever else. You're saying when they look at that pattern that you just showed us.
Well, yes, but all the crystals will come into that pattern.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crystals be part of it, but it's not just the crystals. When they look at the chandelier and see that part of them you just explained, that pattern, they'll be able to see the moire of suggestibility of all the history of math and geometry and symbolism.
Yeah, and what J.W. failed to tell you in this dynamic that this hangs.
Oh, you mean when he did the other day, yeah.
There are seven layers that would hang under this one. So there's one here, and then one here, and then one here. And
with different shapes or the same shapes?
No, same shapes, but they get smaller.
And would that be the seven layers of heaven? Is there seven levels of heaven?
Yes, but no.
That doesn't relate to that. What does it relate to?
Well, that's just how the chandelier comes together.
Oh, okay. The seven is not a magical point. It's not a symbolic...
Everything is symbolic, Bob.
Right. Well, Evereen said that seven is no longer, quote, a lucky number. We're moving into eight.
Well,
the shift that's coming will move the luckiness of seven, the traditional icon, and all that it meant, is now shifts to eight. But you, which Jada would like, because he's an 888 person, an 88. So can we... are you saying that the traditional image of seven is what's implied by having seven layers?
No.
Okay. It's just an architectural solution?
It'll come.
Well, there is...
The seventh gate?
No, don't beat yourself to death. It'll come.
Okay, well, what does seven mean to you, Ion? What is its symbolic importance?
It is a number...
Okay.
But balancing across the sides, the width that this would be across, if you break it down into seven layers, seven steps,
yeah,
it becomes an inverted pyramid.
That's right.
Upside down pyramid.
Right.
And seven gives you the correct break point. Because, see, this is going to be a six-sided pyramid.
Right. Mm. Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So what is very poetic about this is that one of the first questions we asked is, how many are you entities or whatever? And it led to the answer, dodecahedron. And then it went into all the angles, and that's how many entities. We're now filling out what that answer meant. And the image you're showing us there in the chandelier is, I think there's not just angles in the dodecahedron, there's circles and squares and that. It's actually the chandelier pattern you showed us could be a way of looking at the dodecahedron, but maybe I'm wrong. Dodecahedron is only in terms of angles.
That's okay. We ain't here pushing in.
Okay, so the pattern we're looking at there is an image of Ion.
Okay.
Just, you know, like zillions of entities. How would the zillions of entities, where each angle is an entity, how would that look? You begin to get what it looks at like by looking at that pulsating intersection with the six hexagrams you just showed us, right? The six sides.
That's very fine.
You know, when you take acid or get some of these, maybe it happens on mushrooms, Carol, you see pulsating and you see shapes and triangles and things suggested. They come, they go, they come, they go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That is like a snapshot, the chandelier, of all the implications that a pulsating inner trip gives you.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree, Ian? You like that, Ian?
An inner kingdom trip?
Yes.
But it is caused by your sensory input, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
So this triangle thing, you see, what's interesting is that, just try to remind you, Ian, of awareness's first five basic symbols. There was simple awareness, which was the flower, right, Carolyn? And then there was another level, and it was a bird, right? Mere awareness. That's right. The flower was mere awareness. The bird was simple awareness. Then it showed the triangle and called it self-awareness. And the fourth symbol was a triangle with this little smoke coming out of it. That was called self-awareness expanding. And then the fifth awareness was the circles, the rippling out circles, which is a cliche image in our culture. The rippling out water circles,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are circles implied in the chandelier. There are triangles implied. It almost implies at least three of the symbols. You've got the triangle, and then you have the triangle with the little smoke. That means, Dave Worsher said, schizophrenia. You're expanding your awareness, but you're incomplete, and then you get to cosmic awareness. This chandelier does show cosmic awareness. It shows the pulsating of the ripples, but it becomes known as angles, squares, circles, vertical lines.
Very good.
Okay, Ian, you have no problem with that, eh?
We're good.
But that's, you can see there's more to it with the middle king, the three worlds. So the triangle becomes triangle expanding, and then the circle scale. So we're using the triangle, the three, the middle kingdoms, the labyrinth of the mind, the physical non-physical, these various triangles. You will melt away that rigid symbol to get the rippling circles, which is the symbol for cosmic awareness, right? You know the symbol I mean, right?
Mm.
You know, it goes like this. There's a circle and a circle and a circle and a circle. It's going out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Centrifugal.
Yeah, centrifugal or centripetal. Centrifugal.
No. That spins outside. It's not centrifugal, it's centrific.
Yes, okay, centrific, which comes up to a key point here we're going to get to before we finish, but let's carry on. These circles are pulsating, but you got the interplay. Now self-awareness, any symbol must imply the triangle. You have to have a duality plus the awareness of the duality.
Yes. have you seen all of the thing you want to see?
Yeah, that's good. Do you want to turn off the light? He's gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here's an interesting point I just remembered we were going to bring up. That was good to see that, and we got some ideas about that.
It helped, yes.
Yeah.
CJW would bust hell before he ever started telling tales. Look at the...
Wait a minute. Are you saying that what you just told us, JW wouldn't tell us?
No. He would be the one saying, shiny, shiny, shiny. Look how shiny it is. Never giving you the details, you know, of what the dynamic is.
Which you just gave us. In other words, you're saying he would not have told us the shapes. Like
never.
Now, does he do that out of his own devilishness, or...
Not devilishness, is he keeps his ideas to himself until they're completely and fully developed. And then you'll walk through there and notice it and go, oh my God, you mean there must have been a divine orchestration of this. How could you get that all worked out and together and have Schoenbeck, the chandelier company, make these patterns and create these things and send them as samples and feel them and rub them and touch them and put them together so you can see what they're like and choose the Strauss or the Bavarian or the Polish or whichever crystal you're going to choose, and which is going to be the best use of collecting the light and how it's going to refract and how many lumens of candle lights are going to be in the chandelier itself and all those dynamics that are everything. Nothing happens in his world without it being completely worked out.
Okay,
see, that's the one.
And he wouldn't tell anybody because he wants them to discover it on their own?
Correct, because then he just becomes real haughty and look how special he is.
Yeah, when does he become that?
He doesn't. He wants to remain humble.
Yeah, he'll leave it to your devices.
Yeah, and so he has to say something, so he talks about how shiny it is and he's distracting
services. Isn't that fun, what someone else created?
Right, so
that we get to enjoy.
So, Jade, we did not imagine JW to be a designer, or he's an architect, a Leonardo da Vinci kind of guy. He's the one who's getting credit when it gets built of the first time a pyramid's been done.
No, he will not.
He will not take it, right. But
he will not.
We know he did it.
Well, okay. That's fine. He doesn't care. See, to have a human creator know something, for example, if you looked at what he showed you the other day and you got it, you went into all these dynamics and went bam, 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 he would say, wow, that's great. I never had thought about it like that. No. And you know how it goes. But that's just his makeup. He's not going to, he doesn't want to be, he'd never, because to do that, the best he could hope for, he's been around enough to figure this out. The best he could hope for is for somebody to say, okay, how did you figure this out? Or why? How did you get so special that you knew all this? Or,
and he
why
does
aren't
not
you
want to
president?
Be, why aren't what?
Why aren't you president?
Yeah.
Want to figure
and,
all
and,
this out. Why
right,
can't
right,
you
but
run
is,
our
the
work?
Point is he doesn't want to be bothered with answering all that?
Mm-mm.
Is,
right,
that's the reason.
Never.
Yeah, it's not that he couldn't answer. He just doesn't want to be bothered by this human curiosity that sort of wastes his time.
It's like our caller that on your radio show the other day that says, hey, Ion, where am I? And, of course, our response was pretty quick. Honey, if you don't know where you are, how are we supposed to care?
Well, in other words, Ion oscillates between amazing people with what it says and then canceling it by saying, well, we're just a crapshoot. You know what I mean?
No, it depends on the asker.
Yeah, what they're going to get.
The motivation of why you want the answer. And guess what? They could have been lost on a desert island somewhere and not know where they were, or they could have had a cell phone and had one call left, and that was on redial from a cheap radio, buried under the rubble in Haiti and not know where they were geographically, and we could have told them where they were, and it would have been significant. But to know, just to be cheeky, you see...
Well, you're saying that they weren't in that situation.
Right,
they were being cheeky.
Yeah, they were being...
Yeah.
In other words, if they were seriously needed to know, you would have told them.
Exactly. Like the lady asking about her dad.
Yeah. What was... Okay, that was something else. Okay, sorry.
We answered that, no problem. Bam, bam, bam. Here, you know, spot on.
Because
she
was sincere.
She absolutely was sincere.
Okay, so JW doesn't want to be distracted. He sees the disservices of being well known.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because
he can't for the life of you, all of you, calculate how it serves you well.
We've always had the unknowns anonymous as our principle. It's a joke line. Okay, unknowns. Yeah. These unknown people get together and worry or discuss their addiction to unknownness. You know what I mean?
Their desire to remain unknown.
Yeah, and somehow.
Because then you can embrace and you can embrace the deliciousness of your knowing without having to expose it for everyone to see, to look at. We joke with Karen about foundational garments. Just because you got pretty panties doesn't mean you have to show them off.
Right, but I am. So to continue the thought, so Carol and I, we have probably used that as a meme to protect us or to keep us paranoid about being too well-known. Not that we could become super well-known, but maybe we could have. We always enjoyed not being totally well-known, okay? So then we meet JW, and he agrees with us. So we met another Unknowns Anonymous person, right? Ian, that's the point. JW was qualified to hang out with us because he was into being unknown, right, Ian?
Well,
and vice versa.
Yeah, what'd you say?
Time won't tell. There is no time. Cut that out. We don't want to hear that word anymore.
Yeah, so we discovered JW was the guy who inaugurated this society. We were members of it, we didn't know who started it.
Mm-hmm.
It was JW who came after us. He was the fact that planted it. Okay, so
it serves you. See, the point of it is it serves you.
Yeah.
And the reason that it serves you is it's not, you're not expelling it or moving it into your outer kingdom for everybody to gawk at.
And that's part of what you were saying last night, that Carol and I weren't stained.
Correct.
Yeah. That
he would never show off his goodies to even the few people that get into his world.
Yeah, we're very privileged to the degree that
He would never.
You mean what he showed us, he doesn't show anybody?
No.
They can walk in and see it, right?
Right.
But he doesn't talk about it.
Right. Wow, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, it's just some old lumber.
Okay, so
this pencil is so beautiful. Where does it come from? The store.
Does he share with us because he knows we don't care? Is there that aspect?
Well, no, you care. You actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you enjoy the blending. See, because you're kind of purist when it comes to things. It's better to have nothing that it has to do than it is to have two things not alike.
Say it again. We're purists about having.
You're purists. You'd rather have nothing than to have things not.
That aren't any
blending
good.
Blending of things aren't so good for
you. Yeah, the what of thing? Listing?
Blending.
Yeah, we don't want mediocrity or something.
Well, right. But see, and for JW, the more he mixes it up, the more it becomes an individual statement of togetherness.
The more he mixes up what? We're talking about the blending thing that we
have? Yes. Different styles of furniture, different kind of colors, different kind of motifs.
Yeah, the more he mixes it up. Now, you
the
were
more
saying
it becomes
that,
individual for him.
Yeah, his individual expression of
a style.
Yeah. Now, you said we're purists, we don't like blending. And you're saying he does like blending.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And you're saying that he doesn't mind telling us because
you enjoy it. You like the interplay. You like the dynamic, the deliciousness that is someone else's experience. You're never going to. Well, he wouldn't. He would know. But you would never. He's very comfortable that you wouldn't say, "Well, that's just pretty silly to have all that," or "Why do you want all this?" Or
well, we respect. His reality, his right to have it.
And he's real comfortable with that because otherwise he would never expose himself.
Right.
But for you guys to see him just buck naked, he probably wouldn't care.
That's
but
right.
But you probably wouldn't want to do a TV show in the nude.
That's right. I remember him saying after we visited him, he commented, maybe that's when he noticed it, that we did not judge the people we were with in the family. Where if we did, we keep it to ourselves. We're not the kind of people that impose our reality on people. I think that's, he respected that.
Sure, sure. Well, because that's how you have a friend, is you be a friend.
Yeah. There's
and that's how you start linking the kingdoms.
Right, there's a good sentence.
This is the part that you're getting to.
Yeah, linking
the kingdoms. Carolyn has three kingdoms in this plane.
Right.
Bob has three kingdoms in this plane. JW has three kingdoms in this plane. And these outer kingdoms can become a matter of the inner kingdom. For example, if a heartfelt matter came on the horizon, all three could engage from the inter-kingdom.
All three of us could engage.
A laudable, pleasing conclusion.
As we align our three inner kingdoms about an inner kingdom matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And here's an example. You have a reading scheduled for tomorrow.
Right.
Okay. That wasn't a big emotional thing.
Right.
But it did come from the outer kingdom.
Okay, what is the outer kingdom that it came? It's not us, it's the outer world.
Yes.
Yeah.
It came from the outer world,
right.
The outer kingdom, and then you had to mention it.
Yeah.
And it had, and then you can deal with it. You could kind of figure out who it is or where they are and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, then that gets sieved through the liver of the inner kingdom. To say, yeah, that's okay, let's go ahead.
Right.
Hey, JW, we've got a reading on Sunday. Are you available?
Yeah.
Well, that's his outer kingdom, and it has to be brought to all of our middle kingdoms that we can be there, synced
at
up,
the same time,
enjoy
right.
that reading.
All right, so the
yes.
you made an interesting point. Is there organs of the body that we can match up? Sort of a, not rigidly, but the liver is more the inner kingdom?
Yeah, it is inner kingdom.
And the skin
it's
is the outer kingdom, and the...
What's the outer kingdom?
The skin, I think you said.
Yes, we got crust, yes.
Yeah, and then we know the inner kingdom is the heart as well as the liver.
Yes.
So what would be the middle kingdom?
Inner kingdom would be the compilation of all those kingdoms.
Those inner organs.
Right.
Yeah.
Your beingness, your now...
It's almost like what I call the proprioceptive. It's the inner land.
It would be proprioceptive. That is correct, from the fullest extent.
Yeah.
Not, but see, but now we're also saying that a fingernail would be part of the outer kingdom. But guess what, Bob? That fingernail is also connected to the inner kingdom and the middle kingdom.
Yeah, this could improve on the charts that the Chinese have, the acupuncture charts.
Oh, it absolutely completes them. That's exactly correct. Yes, it does.
Now, that's exciting for your medicine, Carol. But the middle kingdom, if the inner organs are the inner kingdom and the skin is the outer kingdom, the middle kingdom would be all of it together? The whole organism?
Well.
Or is it the head or the mouth? You know, what organ?
No, it's not that limited. Let's do it from a larger dynamic. The middle kingdom would never, ever have cancer
mm-hmm.
in its middle kingdom unless it got exposed from the outer kingdom.
Right.
And then developed or filtered through the inner kingdom.
That's the only way the middle kingdom would get cancer.
With no cancer, correct.
With no cancer. But just to keep it simple, the skin was the outer kingdom, the liver and the heart are the inner kingdom. What organs or part of the body would be aligned, matched up with the middle kingdom?
We would say anything that an internal medicine doctor would doctor.
Well, that's the liver and the heart we were talking about as the inner kingdom.
Yes. Yeah.
So the middle kingdom is the same area?
No, the middle kingdom. Oh, we're sorry. We're sorry. Yeah. We thought you were saying inner kingdom.
Yeah.
We're sorry. Middle kingdom would be your world, your now. Middle kingdom would be now. Do you have have a liver in your nail, Bob? Yes, you do. Okay, well, then that would also be in the middle.
See, that would be the, what I mean by tactile. I define tactility personally as the thing that organizes the body and mind into a consciousness. And that's
of
what
nail.
You mean. Yeah, of now.
The consciousness is your nail, then yes, absolutely.
Yeah, the middle kingdom is the whole organism, Carolyn.
And it's the second angle that links all those back together.
The second angle. So what would the first angle be?
The distance between the two.
Right, and then the second angle
coming.
Is the...
Oh, wait.
There's your triangle.
Yes. But even this way. Oh, wait. We're having global warming. Outer kingdom. Global warming. Outer kingdom. Then all of a sudden you get hot inside and you're like, you know, I'm really, really winded. I'm hot. I mean, it's cold outside, but I'm hot. That's inner kingdom. Well, the now is the middle kingdom, and that's where this starts showing up for other individual human creators. You asked how the human creators caused earthquakes.
Yeah.
These outer kingdoms keep bumping into each other, being sieved through the inner kingdom, and then people say, God damn it to hell, no, I'm not having that in my reality, and they push against it to the point that it really gets to be a great big thing, and the next thing you know, we instead of having a tail of tea, they have a tea party.
Right, now let's just review the outer environment is global warming, right?
That would be outer kingdom, yes.
Yeah, and then you said that makes the inner kingdom feel warm?
No, you have an experience personally in your inner kingdom, which could be either hot or cold.
Right.
Correct? See, you gauge how hot you want your bath from your outer kingdom, but you enjoy a warm bath from your inner kingdom.
That's almost like the one of the 3-2-1. It's the thing that decides, redefines it.
Yeah. It settles it.
Yeah.
It settles it.
Okay.
Good or bad.
All right, so the inner kingdom does that part, and the middle kingdom is the resolution of how one reacts to the outer kingdom's global warming.
Correct. From the outside kingdom. But see, the angles link them. The angles link them, but that's why it had to be two angles.
Yeah, the angles link what?
The kingdoms.
Right, but they have to touch. They can't. The outer and inner don't touch each other. They got to go through the middle kingdom.
Well, now you have access, but it's always through the middle kingdom because that's the now. Because if it's a dreaded thought that's going to happen. A dreaded worry from the inner kingdom, well, that can then set it up to be experienced through the outer kingdom. But even if that happens, it doesn't matter until it becomes real in the middle kingdom. And then we have an example. Economy falls.
Mm.
That messes up people having a reaction, emotion in their inner kingdom.
Right.
Okay? But it's happening in their outer kingdom.
Right.
But if they don't bring it to their middle kingdom, their economy doesn't have to fall.
Right.
But they can watch it go on around them, and then milk goes expensive, or gas goes expensive, or gold goes expensive, and then it goes down and up and down and over and under and all this kind of stuff. Well, those are just the parts that you embrace. Either way, and that becomes your middle
kingdom.
Yes, your world, your now.
Right. Your middle kingdom is the result of your negotiating.
That is exactly correct. And from your calipers, meaning your engaging, your feet take you where you want to go, but your feet are always in the middle kingdom. Because you take yourself with you most everywhere you go.
Yeah, now the calipers are part of the Freemasonic symbol in the
Chandelier.
Yeah. So the design, the sketch that Ion sent me back in June
was that chandelier.
Well, it was the parts all mished together, sort of mushed together. I could look at it again, but it was implying those different shapes. You mean? Yeah, I think at the time Ion suggested it was the guff and the physical and the non-physical, different factors. It probably included.
It is.
It probably included the three kingdoms in there? So
Absolutely.
There was a lot in that chart. Okay, so...
That's correct.
So what we have is you got the two
and
of
them... And there's already been a book written about this that's complete. And would you like to know what it is?
Sure.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Is that the triangle, the Three Bears?
That's the Three Kingdoms.
Right. And what's Goldilocks?
The nail.
But wouldn't that be one of the bears?
Well, that would be you sitting on a mantle.
Right. It's the part that's aware of it.
That's witnessing it in their experience, yes.
Right. Like right now, we're witnessing the Three Kingdoms spelled out to us. We're the Goldilocks right here.
That's perfect. That's right.
Right.
And then if you embrace it, you go, this one is just right. Well, then there you go.
Right. Now,
well, this one's too hot. This one's too cold. This is just perfect. Good.
Okay, but was the author of the Goldilocks Three Bears thinking of the Three Kingdoms?
Yes.
So some people knew about this.
Everyone knows about this. They just can't remember.
All right. So the author was thinking of it, quote, subconsciously, but didn't know, and he wouldn't have gotten up and lectured on the Three Kingdoms as part of our structure.
James Aloysius knew it very well, but couldn't communicate it.
That's James Joyce. Well, why couldn't one? It's just three things. You just state it. Why can't you communicate it?
Well, you can. We did it to you, and you didn't get it the first couple of
times. Right.
So.
In other words, he
And you're the brighter bulb in the chandelier, Bob.
Right. So, on some things. Apparently not too bright about other things.
Are you joking, Bob, to even engage in these, what you call, unfunk thoughts? Think about what you're doing. You and Carolyn are engaging in unfunk thoughts.
That's interesting, yeah.
Unfunk thoughts.
And yeah.
And so much so that you're engaging the tactility to figure out the pronoun usage and the verb tenses and reality.
And relating it back to what
And knowing what you know
and
that you don't know that you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's much more that you don't know that you know than there is that you know that you don't know.
Yeah, right.
And if that doesn't make the wake, something's wrong.
So I know a lot, and I don't know how much I know.
You know more than what you think you don't know.
Right. Yeah, there's an area, I don't know about that. Well, there's a whole area beyond that bigger that I know.
That you do know.
Yeah.
You know you don't know that.
Yeah.
That's why we said from pretty much the beginning, humans in the Middle Kingdom, do not know what they like. They like what they know.
Right. So if you look back... I mean, I guess 99.9% of humanity, if JW shows up, Ireland shows up March 18th, 2009, they wouldn't get anywhere. So now we're here 1,000 hours later, we're engaging it, learning from it, and have other stuff to relate to it. So that's pretty...
And eloquently, now listen now, this is pretty good. And eloquently opening up into your bodies that you also created that allow other human creators... to poke at it and embrace it and resonate with it and go, wow, this is amazing. This is new. This has never been said before. This is what I've searched my whole life for.
Yeah.
And it's done from the simple temporal experience that you have a non-physical.
Right. And a week after Ion showed up, I get on the radio March 25th and laid out a big manifesto, which... richer and richer we go back to it, was basically pretty good, but we didn't fully know the implication. Well, now we know more implications of what I said.
The union of the state.
But the point, the union of state, that's pretty interesting just there. But the phrase, but the point is I got on there within a week and sounded eloquent. JW says, that was pretty eloquent, and that, I guess that's talented.
Yes, meanwhile, he was about ready to call his physician for Xanax because he didn't know how far you were going to go, but it worked out okay.
Okay, so...
He luckily got over himself, so...
Yeah, that's great. Now, so we've got the... I'm thinking there's a basic duality in the Middle Kingdom. We experience life...
It's not basic. It's the Middle Kingdom is where all duality originates.
Right, right. It's the basic...
So it's a complex duality.
Right. So, but the... and so it's... okay, so you got the duality. Okay, so you got duality in the Middle Kingdom, but... So I was thinking that we've got the three, the triangle of the physical, non-physical, and the labyrinth of the mind. We got the triangle of the three kingdoms.
Yes.
And then there's the two of everything, which is... Is that a duality? I don't think that's a duality. Okay.
Every angle of a pyramid has two angles.
Right. So it...
Two paths off of it.
Okay.
From a vortex.
And that's the technical way to explain the two of everything.
From a vortex, yes.
And so that is the duality that's in the Middle Kingdom?
Yeah, and in all the kingdoms, but stems from the Middle Kingdom. Because, see, you can have the Outer Kingdom. People get in the Outer Kingdom. We'll have an example. Chris Story.
Mm.
We don't want to ruin your tape, but,
right.
But Chris Story is only about the Outer Kingdom.
That's right. Yeah, he does cite, he thinks he's a devout Christian, quotes the Bible a lot, but that's the upside-down Bible.
So did the Sadducees.
Right, right.
So did what you call Satan. He quoted it better than Jesus.
And where did he do that? Is that in the...
All through the inclinations or the ramifications of the developed dogma in your scriptures.
Okay, no, do you mean the temptations when Satan tempted Christ? Is that when he quoted the Bible?
And every other dynamic. It was he knew the scriptures better than the Creator.
Yeah, which would, and that's what the Christians say about demons. They, the angels or the demons that come in and possess humans, they know, they're very smart, they know everything about it, they can fool you, they know everything, like they know the scripture.
And yet you want Jesus to come invade your heart.
Right. Okay, I'm just thinking we've learned the labyrinth of the mind, Trinity, the three kingdoms, the duality, and was there something else we learned? it was basically...
There might have been one more thing, Bob.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But now some of this information is coming from your outer kingdom, and it's new.
No, what does that mean?
You're having engagement with non-physical right now.
Through an outer kingdom telephone.
Well, no, just the information itself.
It's coming from the outer kingdom?
It's coming into your outer kingdom, and you're now embracing it.
Right.
In your inner kingdom, filtering it, understanding it. Why are you talking about all these angles? You just could have just said path. Well, why did you say just, if you said just path, we wouldn't have got it. And all that.
Reason you said angles is to relate to other worldly disciplines like architecture and everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know that now. But 1 hour and 5 minutes ago, we were having a way different conversation.
Right, right. Well,
That clearing up. Brought it from, when you got it cleared up, you moved it from your outer kingdom through your inner kingdom to your middle kingdom. And it becomes indelibly a part of your now.
Right. Now, here's an interesting thing. You've got the threeness, and so it's important. The basic duality of our situation here, then people always... refer back to that. That's why Ion is new, because it's no, it's a three-way thing, labyrinth, physical, non-physical, and that's new. It's not you're bringing in the Trinity triangle part, and I find it interesting that Bucky Fuller said that nature was built on the triangle, so that's true, but most people think it's built on duality, and it is built on duality, but there's this third aspect. Now, let's go into the tetrad. We were talking about this on the way home.
It's ice time, just 1 second,
okay.
So we don't mess it up. Sorry.
Did you say it was jumping out and landing on the floor? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have to get that up because that makes him crazy.
Yeah. So you're going to do that now?
We did.
Yeah. So you did. So the When you say that we're the brightest bulb, Carol and I, what it is, and understand, is that we knew a lot, we were tuned into a lot of things, and we were able to respond to ion, and it's the ability to respond to the new that's more important than knowing a lot, because there are a lot of people who knew a lot.
You know what you knew mostly?
We knew to engage the new.
No. You knew mostly you didn't know anything.
Yeah, that's the main
point. Therefore, you intuitively in your inner kingdom didn't push against anything.
Right.
Any dynamic. So therefore, there was nothing eliminated from your possibility of your middle kingdom.
Right, and there are people who may not see us that way. They might think we have superiority complex or not because they project that. But there are people who don't like us.
It might be that you tell them, I'm God and I run it all and I created the world. And
right,
any
because
good thing that happens to you, you can thank me. They might pick it up from that, Bob, but we're not sure.
but the thing is, there are people who don't know I say that who I suspect don't like us. Because
if they hang around long,
they'll have more reasons to not like me.
That's right.
The point is they're projecting their own knowing on something where they would be surprised that if they could look inside and really see us, they'd be surprised that we knew we didn't know anything. That's not what they would expect.
But that wholeness, that delicious wholeness from that agape place of embracing.
Yeah.
It's pretty spectacular.